Okay, joining me on the Chattering Classes this time is Alison Hill, published author. No, you don't like that term?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment?
No, because a million miles away from what I am doing.
A million miles away?
Mm.
Oh. And what are you doing now?
I'm a school secretary.
School secretary. Front office lady.
Front office lady.
Have you ever met a front office man?
Never.
When you're at school, in your job?
Never, never, never. Never heard of one.
No, I've never worked.
What shame.
Because it's not something that lends itself specifically, is it?
No, because it's a mummy role, really.
Yeah, I guess you do a lot of babying of...
Teachers.
Well, we might get into that a bit later, I think, because I'm sure you've got some interesting opinions on... the teachers of the world compared to the students of the world.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, we're going to look at your films. And it's quite a good mix. But we might start with When Harry Met Sally.
Why do you want to start with that one in particular?
Is this how it's going to be? I'm interviewing you. You're not allowed to ask me questions like that. Just because I wrote it down first.
Oh.
That's the expertise that I have and the flair.
Mm-hmm.
So... you thought When Harry Met Sally was like one of the first three that you chose.
Yep.
Why?
One of the reasons, and it, now you see you've said the movie's out of order, so it doesn't work as well.
Was there a set order?
There's a set order. There's a timeline.
Oh, okay, so. Well, we'll do a chronology. Sorry, we'll
okay.
go back on that.
All yeah. right, yep.
Sorry, everyone. I didn't prepare well
Reset.
Enough.
Reset.
Reset. Yep. Okay, so what movie did you want to discuss first?
My first movie, which we saw on beta tape.
You had a beta?
We had a beta, because it's superior quality. And it was a movie that we taped. Mum and Dad had people over for dinner, and they bought their beta machine, and they taped illegally Lord of the Rings, the animated version.
Long ago... in the early years of the Second Age, the great elven smiths forged rings of power. 9 for mortal men, 7 for the dwarf lords, 3 for the tall elf kings. But then the Dark Lord learned the craft of ring making and made the Master Ring, the one ring to rule them all. With the one ring, Middle-earth's his, and he cannot be overcome. As the last alliance of men and elves fell beneath his power, he did not notice the heroic shadow who slipped in. It was Prince Isildur of the mighty kings from across the sea who took the ring. But because he did not destroy it, the spirit of the Dark Lord lived on and began to take shape and grow again. But the ring had a will of its own and a way of slipping from one hand to be found by another so that it might at last get back to its master. And there the ring lay at the bottom of the great river Anduin for thousands of years. During those years, the Dark Lord captured the 9 rings that were made for men and turned their owners into the ring wraiths, terrible shadows under his great shadow, roam the world, searching for the one ring.
Now, did they tape it off the TV?
No.
Did you do that?
No, somebody had borrowed a tape. I feel like there were three machines going at the time.
Yeah, you had to hook up your machines to the... Yeah. One TV.
Yeah, and so the resulting video that we were left with, the quality was rubbish. And because we watched it over and over and over and over again, that just went downhill to the point it was, you had to shut all the blinds, it couldn't be any natural light or no lights at all, so you could see it. And it was a pretty dark, that film was a pretty dark film anyway.
Yeah, there's lots of shadows and shadowy figures. I mean, so Lord of the Rings, the animated one, instead of being a three-film, 12-hour saga, it is known as now.
No, it was. It actually was, and it might have been the reason I watched it so often, because it was actually...
It's like 90
the
minutes.
First, it was only the first part of the movie.
That's right, yeah.
They
ran out of money, I think.
Oh, yeah, because there never was any more. We could never find them.
No, there isn't any more.
No, but it was great.
Yeah, the guy, the animator, I think it's Ralph Bashkin. I might have his last name wrong. Mm. My brother was obsessed with him because he did that. And he did, I think, a movie called Wizards, and he did one called Fire and Ice. It might not have been him, but it was all around the same time, same style.
Yeah.
And
which is what kind of a style? I mean, I'd never seen anything like it at that point. That was, it's sort of cartoon over real film.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that I'd seen similar to that was like the old Dot and the Kangaroo.
Oh.
You know, where they just drew a little cartoon over a photo, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were pretty wild, weren't they, for the time, The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And I don't feel like Peter Jones went very far from that, actually.
No.
He's
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. Peter Jones. What's that, cigarettes?
No.
No,
Peter Jackson cigarettes Peter too,
Jackson
isn't it?
Cigarettes as well. Yeah. No, I don't think he went very far from it at all.
No. I mean, that's why it's the length it is, I guess, but... Yeah, it was. I remember just going, "Wow, this is." Because I read the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah,
but I haven't read any of the others.
No,
I was like, "Oh my god, another 1,000 pages."
Yeah, that's right.
Of this,
quit while not going. Yeah. Good.
Well, yeah, relatively good, but the so you said you watched it when you were a kid. So how old, like Betamax?
Oh yeah.
Because I think we got a VHS, and there was. Maybe still a rivalry between, you know, Betamax and VHS. Which one were you going to choose? Because I had a few friends that had Betamax. But how old were you, do you think, when...
10, maybe. 10, yeah.
So what was it like having, like, access to...
A Betamax.
Well, just, to movies, I guess. Have you always been into movies?
Yeah. Yeah, huge movie nerd. But not. I'm not very highbrow movie nerd. I love a special effects movie.
Just looking at this list, I think you're going to prove yourself correct there.
I know. I love a special effects movie. And this might have been part of that, really, because 1978, special effects were pretty limited.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, this is pretty... This really tapped into my imagination. This is, you know, where my nightmares often looked like what I was seeing on the film in this situation.
Wow.
Truly.
So did you have Lord of the Rings nightmares?
No. Just, you know, there's all the scenes with the orcs and...
Yeah.
And who's the guy?
Gandalf?
No, the guy that directed it. This is where my crappy memory comes in.
Bashki.
There you go.
I could be totally wrong.
Yeah. Well, that'll do. But his ideal of the orcs, that was really...
Yeah, they were pretty... I guess Peter Jackson looked at those and went, they were pretty
good. Yeah, yeah. I engaged with that. I mean, on a real visceral level, it was, you know, that was bad dream stuff for me. So it was fascinating to see it, someone putting that on a screen.
Yeah.
That they'd sort of reached into my head and taken it out.
Do you think as
a kid... At 10.
At 10. But do you think as a kid that you do latch onto those things?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like those
I don't think I've stopped.
No, that's what I mean. But like those visceral things... They do enter your dreams much, I found, much easier as when you're a child than when you're an adult, I guess, and stay with you. But as a kid watching some of those movies, and some of the movies that my brother and I watched, I don't know if I want my children watching them at such a young age.
Not at such a young age, but you get to the tragedy is now, is I do share some of that with these guys.
Yeah.
And special effects, all of that sort of stuff has come such a long way that it has no effect on them whatsoever. They just pat me on the head.
There you go, laugh. I show like a lot
this
of stuff.
This really scared me. Okay, Mum.
Yeah, good work, Mum.
Yeah, go back to sleep.
Stop snoring. But I show a lot of stuff in class to students.
Mm.
And even last week we watched the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark where all their face melts.
Yeah.
And they were just like, ugh. How crap does that look?
Best scene ever.
I know. Isn't it?
And we all knew that looked like plasticine, but it didn't matter because they were making it work.
That's right. They were trying.
Yeah, and there was some dude screaming.
Yeah, and his head explodes. Yeah. I did tell them, like, the thing that they got into was I told them how much I freeze-framed the dude's face melting, and that got quite a workout. Back in the day when if you did that too much, the tape would wear out.
That's right.
The nostalgia for crappiness.
I know. I always remember getting a copy of Basic Instinct with some boyfriend.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I wasn't really into it at the time, but the tape deteriorated completely on the infamous crossing her legs scene. And the guy I was with at the time was spewing because, you know, they've ruined it.
This film.
That's right.
I had to sit through watching Newman sweat in the room and watch Michael Douglas flabby out.
Oh, my.
Yuck. So how many brothers and sisters do you have?
One of each. Both younger.
So did they get into, like, leads me to Lord of the Rings as well?
Yeah. Oh, they got into anything I was into because I was the eldest by 4 and 6 years, so I was the boss.
Yeah. Did you play one against the other a lot? I have two older brothers and the eldest used to do that.
No, I just used to say what was happening and that was the way it was. At that time.
Yeah.
They were only really little though. I mean, by the time I left they were sort of 11 and 12 or 13. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. By then they could, I think that at that point they, at the time when they might have started to rebel against me, they I left so they didn't have to.
Look at their ladder there.
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted, while we're on the topic of family, is could you briefly tell the story of, was it your grandmother?
I just don't think that's a very brief story.
It's not a brief story?
No. Well, she's a nut job.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually my greatest shock to discover that everybody's family is crazy because my family is super crazy.
Yeah.
But my grandmother was textbook sociopathic, as it turned out years later.
Mm.
And I was the eldest grandchild, so there was a real tension between us always. Always, always. She was a super control freak. Everyone just had to do what she said. And but she did an oral history with my mum a few years before she died, and then mum asked me to write it out, which, you know, because I was doing the writing and why not. And she'd been kidnapped when she was born because her own mother and her brothers had died very mysteriously a couple of weeks after she was born. And her father apparently was very dramatic in his grief, and while he was grieving, she was stolen by an aunt, who then proceeded to travel all around Sri Lanka with her for 2 years, trying to evade him taking her back again. But this crazy aunt, who I don't know any more about, also stole some other poor kid, some little working class kid.
At the same time?
At the same time.
Wow.
Yeah. And no one knows if he ever got back to family.
But no one knows if he got back.
No one has any clue. But when she was found, when my grandmother was found, she was 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Her dad found her, and then he stuck her in an institution after that. So he took her away from the only person she ever knew, and then he stuck her in a nunnery kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess that's how you raise a nutter.
Yeah, yeah, that's a textbook way of raising a nutter.
How
works
am I going to do
perfectly.
This? Let's see, kidnap at birth, put in a
that's
convent.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we'll move on from that.
So that was brief.
Well, that's it. We don't want to go into why your family's crazy.
Psychoanalyst couch.
Yeah, we don't need that. No. We don't need to do that. I'm just going to, we'll analyse you through your film choices. That's what I like to do.
I don't know if that would be the right thing to do. On the other hand,
I'll be
what
the
do
judge
I know?
Of that.
Yeah.
All right, what's your next film?
My next one was Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking chronology there. I'm going to have to pull you up.
I know. I just realised that. But you know what? That would have been the order I would have seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm. And the first thing that grabbed me about Star Wars is the words at the beginning.
Oh, totally.
That was it. I was hooked from that very second.
That movie just worked from the start.
Awesome.
The advice I always need is, at what age do I show Star Wars to my children?
Oh, yeah.
Because I have a friend, he's shown the first two maybe to his boy who's maybe six now.
Yep.
But he said maybe Empire Strikes Back sort of freaked him out a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I would have thought that Empire Strikes Back would be perfect for a six-year-old.
Yeah.
Probably more exciting for a six-year-old.
Oh. So, you know, you're obviously... Do you love all six of the series?
No. Not even close.
Not even close?
No.
The second lot of three are a big pile of turd?
Yeah. They are, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, they are, right? They
yeah.
are.
Yeah. They just... I get it, but no, they really are.
Midichlorians?
Hmm?
That's what causes the Force.
What?
Never mind. I will get angry if I get
That's
into
science,
it.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's rubbish. It's not... Yeah, they've taken this...
Oh, do they do that in the last three? See, I missed a lot. That Jar Jar Binks really threw me.
I agree.
That's just... What a waste of space. Ewan McGregor, that's about the only good thing that came out of those
three. Darth Maul was a great character too.
Oh,
he wasn't in it enough.
Well, he was quite pretty, but...
Darth Maul was pretty? The red dude?
Yeah.
Pretty?
The visual effect of him
All
was
right,
pretty.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But that's cool. That's what you want. Like, if you're a kid or a child at heart, like, that's what you want. You want to see a dude with two-ended red, crazy red face, double-ended lightsaber.
Mm.
Killing people. Killing Liam Neeson. That's what you want in a movie.
Yeah, that's right. Liam Neeson.
No spoilers, who cares?
No, that's right.
Don't watch it. That's
no,
the spoiler.
Exactly. Thank God Ewan McGregor didn't die.
Yeah. Well, you knew he wasn't going to die, though.
Oh, I know. Thank God.
I wish Anakin
See, I really died. Liked Alec Guinness, too.
Yeah.
And that was a real connection for me.
Yeah.
He was. I think Alec Guinness might have been the start of my old men. Because I like old men.
We aren't on the couch, remember that? We aren't on the...
No, there's just something very gentle and, you know.
Yeah. Like, I read all that he hates... Oh, dialogue was horrible in Star Wars. And when you take the dialogue, you know, out of context, like, it is pretty terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But...
Alec did that wonderful, you know, shiftiness with his eyes and that awkward moment of telling Luke...
Yeah.
...the real story of who he was.
Why didn't you tell me? You told me Vader betrayed and murdered my father.
Your father was seduced by the dark side of the Force. He ceased to be Anakin Skywalker and became Darth Vader. When that happened, the good man who was your father was destroyed. So what I told you was true, from a certain point of view.
A certain point of view?
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view. Anakin was a good friend. When I first knew him, your father was already a great pilot, but I was amazed how strongly the Force was with him. I took it upon myself to train him as a Jedi. I thought that I could instruct him just as well as Yoda. I was wrong.
There is still good in him.
He's more machine now than man, twisted and evil.
I can't do it, Ben.
You cannot escape your destiny. You must face Darth Vader again.
I can't kill my own father.
Then the Emperor has already won. You were our only hope.
My favorite moment in Star Wars is where they go to Alderaan and they come out of the light speed.
Yeah.
And there's no Alderaan. And then you see in the distance, like, we'll go see what's happening over by that moon. And Alec Guinness says, That's no moon.
Yeah.
I still remember seeing that when I was young, just going, oh my God. And then the music, just so much dread.
And the look on his face.
Yeah.
And you know what's really funny, a little bit of trivia. You know that the scene where they blow up Alderaan with that desk, years later, I worked in a TV studio and I was a vision switcher and I used the exact same desk. It's sort of like...
Seriously?
Seriously. It's a vision switcher's desk.
Yeah.
And it's for online editing while you're watching the news or something like that. So, you know, cut to camera one, cut to camera two, and then the T-bar, which you... That's
did
when you do
make
a
the
slow
sound?
Wipe.
Did you do the sound?
In my head, I did the sound.
Oh, I would have done
every
that.
Time.
Wow, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
I've just been doing that all day. We're broken.
I know. I was so excited years later when I watched that. And that's how many times I watched Star Wars, on a regular basis. I go, hang on a minute. Yeah. That's the GVG-300.
Wow. That's the nerdiest thing. Like, you can't... I've heard all the nerdy things about Star Wars, but that's a new bit.
Yeah.
That's well done. So, did you see them at the cinema? Like, did you go to the movies to see...
I don't think I saw... I would have seen Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi at the cinema, but yeah. I wouldn't have seen Star Wars at the cinema. That would have been a date movie for Mum and Dad, I think.
Yeah.
And then Dad would have come back raving and he would have gotten that down the track on the Betamax.
I mean, I guess, like I said, like, you, what age to see it, but I must have seen it young and been obsessed by it.
Yeah.
Because we went to see, when Return of the Jedi came out, they had Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi play back to back.
Yeah.
And so my dad took us to see that. Thanks, Dad. Because that is burnt in my mind. The Return of the Jedi, especially with the Rancor.
Yep.
Where he falls down the pit. That terrified me.
I love that.
I watched that,
so cool.
Through my fingers, through split fingers a lot, because it was just a big green monster. But you
which now looks very much like a...
Yeah.
A sock puppet.
It does look like a sock puppet or a painting done in front of a screen or something. Yeah, well, still holds up.
Now tell me what you think about Mark Hamill.
In general?
Right.
Or as Luke Skywalker?
Didn't he shit you?
No. No, C-3PO shit me.
Oh, yeah, he shit me too.
When you watch them in one... I know you have done this. You probably watched them all in one day.
Yeah.
That's what you know, like, oh, C-3PO, shut up.
Yeah.
Him and RTD2 are like this Jewish married couple walking through the desert, right. And one of them's always complaining.
That's what my grandmother was like.
And the other one's
just going, like that.
And the other one's just going, boop, boop, boop.
Yeah. Piss off, you pain in the arse.
Yeah. He's so annoying. But no, Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill really annoyed me. Never liked him from the get-go.
I think that's a point of it, though.
That he's irritating.
I think he's meant to be a bit irritating in the first one, especially.
And then I didn't find out that he was really, actually, really badly smashed up before Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
I just thought he grew up wrong.
He grew up wrong?
Yeah.
Like
he didn't age
Mandy,
well.
Or?
I just didn't think he'd aged well.
Poor Mark.
Poor Mark.
Like, I think, he's not good at, obviously not, was never able to play anything else. So
no.
Maybe he was very limited in his range, but it's like a soap opera, and he's a very soap opera style actor, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one in those movies annoys me at all. I don't have, looking back, even with the nostalgia, I don't have any faults.
Yeah.
Except the cutesy Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But when I watched it as a kid, that's the one I watched over and
over and over.
So, again, like, you can complain about it, but what about you? I mean, you've got three kids and you've sat down with them and
we had Marathon.
And watched Star Wars on Blu-ray and very excited when you got that on Blu-ray.
Oh, do you remember?
Yeah, I remember you were like, I'm going home to watch these.
The Marathon.
Back to back to back.
Yeah.
But do they... What was that like? Like, showing that to them, and are all of your kids into it?
Abby probably isn't as much. She might have had a try because
the big family thing.
Yeah, the big family thing. But the boys were very much so.
Yeah.
But they really got the three new ones in a way that I
that's what I was gonna ask.
Couldn't really connect.
Did they like the three new ones a lot more?
Yeah. Well, they took the. They got in trouble because they were taking the piss out of some of the effects from the first three.
Yeah.
And even Return of the Jedi when they're zipping through the forest on those.
Yeah, which used to look amazing.
Yeah, and they're going, oh, come on. You know, we've played Grand Theft Auto.
That's right. That is an issue, isn't it? Yeah.
I thought it was unreal.
Oh, totally. Mm. But do they love the three prequels as much as?
I think they appreciate it much more now. And in fact, I think I can remember them having a go at the young Anakin. You know, what if they couldn't they have gotten a kid who could act better? Blah blah. And I said, I don't think it's about that really.
Yeah.
He's just nailed what they want in a look. And, you know, it is only a little fella after all. But.
Yeah, but, like, in the second one, was it Hayden Christensen?
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible, yeah. The love scenes. It's just horribly written.
You're just thinking, become Darth already.
Yeah, and then, like, the one chance when he goes
nuts. James Earl Jones?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, then he turns up in the third one going, no.
Yeah.
And the really stupid scene, the camera shakes and everything. Like,
yeah.
That's just silly.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
The one scene in Attack of the Clones where he kills all the children.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't show that. Like, no. They should have shown that.
Yeah.
That's what I paid money to see. Yeah.
That's all he would have had to do, really. It would have been very unviolent.
Yeah.
But very emotional.
Yeah, because that's to show, like, oh, now his anger's taken over on him.
Yeah.
Show it and make it even worse, but no, they didn't do that.
And so, you know,
they cut away.
No, it was a bit of a mess. Padme would never have gone for him. He was.
No, that's what I mean. Like, he was so, like, boring.
She was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart girls don't go for boring boys, do they? Do you?
No. No.
Well, we're going to have to move on because we could
talk about Star Wars for hours.
Easily. Yeah. So what's the next?
What's next? Chronologically? Yep. Oh, now you can say When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally.
And now I'm true to type. It's a chick film, right?
Yeah, totally. But I don't think so. I think that's why it's so successful.
Mm.
You know, chick flicks, like When Harry Met Sally, get a much wider audience because I think the male viewpoint is much stronger in that movie. It's not so much a chick flick. It's not like Steel Magnolias, which I haven't seen.
Really?
But that's female centric.
Yeah.
So how do you get the men to come and watch that movie if it's not on a date? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Billy Crystal. Well, I said this is.
But like When Harry Met Sally, you could. I mean, in like
oh, you mean
like
Steel Magnolias
and Fried Green Tomatoes?
Yeah,
is another one where I was like, oh my god! But yeah. I've watched. Justine said, come and watch it, and it was really good.
Yeah, it was good.
But I would never have seen it unless a girl said, here, watch this.
Yeah, yeah.
But when Harry Met Sally, I guess it has Billy Crystal in it. That's all.
Yeah, it also has Carrie Fisher, who of course is.
Are you pausing for me to answer that question?
Yeah.
She's Princess Leia.
That's right.
So it's.
But she's also hell funny.
Yeah.
And I really, I always thought she was hell funny from Star Wars, you know, that real dry. And they just seem to retrofit all of her roles for that real dry sense of humour.
The Princess Leia in modern setting.
Yeah. Well, no. But she was very, I thought she was very funny.
So where did you see that first?
Oh, well, in Canberra back in the day, there was a cinema called Electric Shadows where all the alternative type films, so it didn't come to our mainstream cinemas here, it went there. And I can't remember, I must have read a review about it somewhere, and I may have seen the famous orgasm scene and gone, oh, that looks like it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And Carrie Fisher was in it and Billy Crystal, you know, I'd sort of heard a bit about him, so I thought I'd go and see that. And it really tickled my fancy because I really like Nora Ephron. I really like her writing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of her films are crap, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But she was the first person I had read the writing of a woman who was quite happy to take the piss out of herself and also sounded normal. Made me feel like, you know, the things I thought were normal.
Yeah, because that movie starts like that. Where it's Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
And she's really, well, I found, she's annoying.
She is annoying.
Yeah,
she's really annoying.
That's really interesting that you have the main female character be really annoying from the start.
Yeah.
And he's just blah, 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 blah.
But he's frustrating.
Yeah. Oh,
which
totally.
Was always my experience of guys. They never really knew what they wanted and, you know. whatever.
Do girls really know what they want?
No, not really. No. Well, no, I didn't.
But did you think about what you wanted?
No, probably not enough.
You realize, of course, that we could never be friends.
Why not?
What I'm saying is, and this is not a come on in any way, shape, or form, is that men and women can't be friends because the sex part always gets in the way.
That's not true. I have a number of men friends and there is no sex involved.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You only think you do.
You're saying I'm having sex with these men without my knowledge?
No, what I'm saying is they all want to have sex with you.
They do not.
Do too.
They do not.
Do too.
How do you know?
Because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He always wants to have sex with her.
So you're saying that a man can be friends with a woman he finds unattractive?
No, you pretty much want to nail him too.
What if they don't want to have sex with you?
Doesn't matter. Because the sex thing is already out there, so the friendship is ultimately doomed, and that is the end of the story.
Well, I guess we're not going to be friends then.
Guess not.
That's too bad. You were the only person that I knew in New York.
You say either, I say either. You say neither, and I say neither. Either, either, and either, neither. And let's call the whole thing off.
You know, I think it's a bit of a furphies when they say boys are really hormone-led and girls apparently. I was very hormone-led.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't much thinking involved.
Working in school,
I was seriously physically attracted to guys I actually didn't like at all.
Oh.
And it took me years to sort of go, this is really stupid.
You're really attracted to guys you didn't...
Yeah. I was physically attracted to them. You know, they were the ones I had to target, they were the ones I was with. And then I wasn't interested after that.
But yeah, working in a school, that's not, you know, like a boys and or girls being more hormonally.
Yeah.
You see, that's not an issue. That's not real.
Yeah.
Hormones just pinging off everywhere.
Everywhere. We're swimming in the stuff.
It's very difficult to get. I mean, like your job at school, like you said, you babysit. You do a lot of. They all come up when they're sick. Gotta go to sick bay.
Yeah. I've got a paper cut.
I need ice. They love getting ice from you.
Oh, like they do love getting ice. Yeah.
But do they come to you like for advice as well?
They'll come up and have a cry sometimes. Mostly girls. A couple of times guys have done that. I just don't feel right. I don't know. I don't want to go to class. I don't know. I don't want to go to. No, why don't you go and talk to students? I don't want to talk to student services. Okay.
Yeah. What do they cry about? Generally, is it just life stuff? Like life's getting the better of them? Or is it relationship?
It's life's getting the better of them. Sometimes, sadly enough, sometimes it's stuff at home.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I could get... if their parents could be a fly on the wall because... You know, you'll see these parents going, oh, she does nothing, you know, she won't do anything I say, and why won't she do this, and why won't she do that? She's so impossible to live with. And then on the other hand, you've got the child saying, I don't get it. I don't get what to do, and, you know, I don't get why she can't hear me or why she won't listen, and it sort of breaks your heart a bit because you can't trash either one of those people to the other. But you sort of, you know, I get where the parents coming from, but I also see how wrong they're getting it because of the kid in front of me saying, you know, I really love her, but I just don't know where I'm going wrong. And, yeah.
Yeah, I've been in meetings.
Yeah, of course.
They're just total opposite ends of them.
Yeah.
And screaming at each other and you're like, okay. And sometimes I look at you and go, well, what do you think?
Mm. Like,
tell her she's wrong.
Yeah, tell her she's wrong. Yeah. Pick a side.
Pick a side,
yeah. That's right.
And I think that's obviously as a parent, if you're in that situation.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a bit... I think it's very easy for people to... And everyone does, and look down on teenagers a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I think people just seem to forget how... Like the hormonal change and
life awareness. Yeah, how close to the skin everything is.
Yeah, and how real everything suddenly seems and how serious everything suddenly... We tell them, oh, school is very serious and this part of your life is so super serious, and then they start thinking everything is super serious.
Yeah, and that it all comes down to this minute and this decision and...
Yeah, and if you tell students, if you don't succeed at high school, then this is going to affect your rest of your life, then that's how they look at relationships, that's how they look at family, that's how they look at jobs, like... It's a lot of I think people forget the pressure.
Yeah.
It's easy to go, well, they don't have to pay bills and they don't... I would much rather be an adult than be in high school.
Oh, totally. I remember people saying to me, and I hated being a teenager. It was a horrible time. You know, you feel different from everybody anyway. Well, no, I looked different because I was like 6 foot.
Yeah.
And, well, at the time, built like a splinter.
Do you have a good nickname?
I had the best nicknames.
What were your nicknames?
I had a teacher who used to call me Lucky Legs. Lucky your legs don't break and go up your ass.
A teacher
said that. I had a number 2 haircut when I was in year 8, and it was dyed bright red, very Annie Lennox.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was called Matchstick, of course. I didn't think that through.
Yeah, you want everyone to go, hey, Eurythmics, how awesome are they?
Probably. Yeah. Annie Lennox.
And they're like, awesome. Yeah. Must be talking to an angel.
The worst of the Eurythmic songs. But anyway, yeah. It was more a goth thing, I suppose, in a way. We didn't have that back then.
I would love to see a photo of you with a
I don't have any photos at that time. Surprisingly, Mum and Dad probably hid all the cameras.
That is awesome. But we've drifted away from When Harry Met Sally. And we're going to have to move on.
Oh, okay.
Or is there anything... What's your favourite scene from When Harry Met Sally? Or what? I take it you've watched it many, many times.
I have watched it many, many times. I don't know. Definitely not her weird hairstyles. All those curls and the bobbing and the... It used to irritate me that she'd bob her hair in people's faces.
She's so irritating, but are you happy for her at the end of the movie?
Sure I am. Yeah. She's cute as a button. Can't deny it.
Yeah.
less so now.
Less. Aren't we all?
That's the hard truth. Oh, no.
All right, well, we'll move on to the next movie, which is...
Very possibly my favourite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. When you told me about this, I was so excited.
Why?
I don't know. It just made me happy.
I didn't even think you would... Well, I should have known better.
Yeah.
Because you must be a movie buff. But I thought you would probably go, what the fuck? What? Because it's such a... It was really obscure.
It was.
Yeah.
B-movie.
B-movie.
Intentional awesome. B-movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Tremors.
Tremors. Awesome movie.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, Kev.
He's having such a good time in that movie.
He is having such a good time in that movie. I think that's why I love it. Because he really is. And the guy, who's the Fred Ward I've got Fred written Ward, down. Yeah. Fred Ward. Yeah. Also, the pair of them, the chemistry that they've got.
I watched the preview on YouTube, and I posted it on the website. Today, like, coming up in the next episode, we're looking at Tremors.
Yeah.
Because it's, and that, again, just watching the preview just made me happy.
Yes, that's right.
I haven't seen it for years, but I remember when it came out just going, this movie's great. Why is it, again, like, no one had ever heard of it?
And you know what? I don't think I have ever seen it on telly. Because I know if I ever saw it on telly, I would actually stop everything and sit and watch it. And I'd force all these children to watch it with me. And one of them would probably get a real kick out of it. And the others would probably take the piss the whole way through. But I just love it. I love it. It's the best. Michael Gross, he must have been doing Family Ties at the time, was he? Or was it after then? And Reba McEntire.
Reba McEntire is in Tremors?
Reba McEntire is Michael Gross's wife. And they're two gun nuts. Really full-on gun nuts.
So
good.
If you haven't seen Tremors, go through the premise of it, because it's a genius, premise.
So it's based in a little American desert town called Perfection, I think.
Something like, yeah.
Perfection, right. Which clearly is an ironic name. And these two labourers, Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward, have just had enough and they've decided they're going to get out of there and they're going to go and hit the big city and make their money because they're good at what they do and blah, blah, blah. But on their way out, they get sidetracked by, you know, empty vehicles and blood and guts, and so stupidly they go and look into it.
Of course, as you do.
As you do.
And they go check it out.
Yeah, and they find themselves pretty much part of the hostage situation.
Hostage, I've never heard.
Well, you know, these things take over the town and they don't let anyone leave the town.
Because why? What's the genius premise of these? What are they?
Worms? Aliens.
Alien worms?
Alien worms. With really big teeth.
Yeah. And what...
Would you call them worms? They're like maggots. They're like big maggots.
And they go... Why is it called tremors?
Because they're underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't make any movement.
That's right. Because that's how they don't have eyes and stuff. They feel your movement. That's how they get you. One of the best scenes... one of the best scenes is at the beginning where...
She just got so itchy. Went back to being, what, 20 again and... Maybe you look like you went back to being 12, but you couldn't have been that young watching Tremors.
No, I couldn't have been that young watching Tremors. No.
We don't see anything, Val. So what the hell are you talking about? Over.
Bert, they're under the ground. They're under the ground. They can dig like a son of a bitch. Big monster. Underground. Now get out. Hurry.
I remember why I was watching it, actually. I'd had a knee reconstruction surgery and I was 22 and I wasn't allowed to move. I'd been brought home from the hospital and dumped in my share house room by my flatmate, and I wasn't allowed to move for some time. And the guy at work who did the film reviewers, he came over the whole pile of VHS. I'd moved up in the world.
Moved up in the world, yeah.
And Tremors was one of them. And so I don't know whether it was maybe it was positive conditioning. It might have been the endone or whatever it was they'd given me out of the hospital. And
what's positive conditioning?
Being in a really good mood and everything's great.
Everything's
and having
great.
To work and watching. And, you know, I was no longer having issues with my knee. Of course, I couldn't move, but it didn't matter. And then watching Tremors over and over and over again.
Just made you happy.
Made me happy. But early in the movie, they find these workmen, or they don't find these workmen. They come across a work site that's, you know, strangely quiet, and they see a hard hat on the ground, and they go to pick it up, and there's a face.
Yeah.
There's a face pulled, sucked down into a very dead face with a silent scream. It's awesome. That was it. I was hooked.
You hooked from that? I just remember, very clearly going, why does... Like, I think it's always my older brother was like, "Yeah, well, watch this," and just been like, "This is the best movie I've ever seen."
I agree. I would venture to say that might be the best movie Kevin Bacon's ever been in.
That is a big
might
comment.
Be a bit stretch. But...
I'd like to hear feedback from the listeners. Best Kevin Bacon movies.
Yeah, and I love Kevin Bacon. I'll watch him in almost anything.
Yeah,
but I really like him in this.
Flatliners was around the same time, I think.
Flatliners
I
was
love
around,
Flatliners,
yeah.
But
I did
that's
like
another
Flatliners.
One which I've seen recently and it's...
Not doesn't that, hold up. Not I think great. Tremors would hold up better than Flatliners,
I think,
to be honest.
I think because of the spirit it's made in.
Even
the preview, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon's just smiling all the while. He's delivering these serious lines. It's just great.
And dancing about.
Dancing about, yeah.
With his long, flicky hair.
He does have long hair. Early 90s hair, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
But you mentioned this when I asked you to create this list. That was the first thing you said was, oh, Tremors would probably be there.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, the next day, Tremors, the creatures in Tremors are very similar to the sandworms in Beetlejuice. And I've never thought of that before.
No.
It's sand. Big sandworms.
Oh, I think Beetlejuice sandworms. Copied it. Would have copied it. They would have stolen that.
Yeah. Probably 4 years earlier, but they probably did. They got a copy of the script. But I don't know. Like, I've never thought of that before. I'll go and look at that in a bit more detail.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Beetlejuice was a movie that I watched a lot more than Tremors. But
really? Yeah.
I will be watching Tremors in the next couple of days.
Yes.
No doubt.
So will I now. I'll have to dig it out.
Yeah.
You say it's on YouTube, I'll go looking for that.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I've probably still got it here somewhere on my VHS.
Do you have a machine? You can take it to school. Always VHS machines at schools.
Really?
Bound to be.
Could get...
They never get rid of... They never go, let's throw this out, it's obsolete. And they go, it still works. There's videos in the library for sure.
Yes, there are. I wonder if they've got a beta machine. Dad might still have his beta machine.
They've still got stencil machines. They still have a Betamax machine, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Play your old phonograph records when you bring them in as well.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
All right, well, we might move on to your last film.
Which you probably won't know.
No, I don't know this one.
This has got my girl crush in.
Noni Hazelhurst?
No. Well, no... No, I always wanted to be Noni's little sister.
Yeah.
But my girl crush was, and Hugh Jackman has fantastic taste, Deborah Lee Furness.
Your girl crush is Deborah Lee Furness?
Absolutely.
Really?
Truly. I don't know why. She just is. There's something about her.
Okay.
I'd like to have a great big bosomy hug with Deborah Lee Furness. Lucky Hugh.
A big bosomy hug.
I reckon.
Who wouldn't want a big bosomy hug, though? It's always very nice.
It is always very nice.
It's like
nice.
Hugging a big bag of pillows.
There's a song about that, isn't there?
About hugging a bag of pillows?
Everybody wants a bosom for a pillow.
Oh, that's true. Everyone does want a bosom for a pillow.
True.
Brim full of Asher.
Yeah.
It's all in here.
That's right.
So what's the movie?
The movie's Waiting.
Waiting.
And it's about Noni Hazelhurst plays a lady she's won like the Archibald Prize. She's an artist, and she's living in an isolated place in the bush, which also really captured me. And I'm kind of trying to replicate that in my own way.
Yeah.
And she's being a surrogate. She's coming to the end of a pregnancy where she's the surrogate mother for a friend of hers.
Yeah.
Who has two adopted. Multicultural children already, and as she gets closer to her due date, she's got to finish this painting, and which is part of an exhibition she's supposed to be having in Paris. So she's expected to fly out. She's got her plane tickets, everything. She's just got to have this baby, and then she's going to move on to the next phase of her life and start being a real artist in Paris, and you know, living the dream. And her girlfriends come for the birth. The woman who's proposing to have the child is come with her husband and her two adopted kids. And Deborah Lee Furness is her other best friend, who's a glamour from the city. And they all come and they're sitting around waiting. And so it's literally about waiting. You know, they're all sort of on the doorstep of the next phase of their lives, and something really big and. I guess they very quickly realise nothing's really set in stone.
No.
Yeah, and it all falls apart. Joe, always love that. I always love chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the idea that everything's...
This is how it's going to be, yeah.
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 And it mirrors everyone's life, though, I guess, doesn't it?
Well, especially mine.
Especially yours?
Well, yeah, oh, you know, everybody else seems to have their crap together, but... I feel like I'm just jumping from one stone in the river to the next one, really, and hoping it's not going to be too slippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you throwing the stones into the river just before you leap?
Hell no, I'm going, oh, yeah, there's a good one. There's a good one. Oh, okay. Shit. And now what?
Yeah. Yeah. Just in terms of career or in terms of...
Everything.
Yeah?
Yeah, and that's okay. I kind of like it like this. If I didn't like it like this, I'm sure I would have done something about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We said before that, you know, like, you didn't want to be mention as being a published author because it's far removed from
where I'm where right now. Yeah, yeah.
With something like writing, and you are a good writer.
Oh, thank you.
I don't
you,
say
Matthew.
That lightly. I don't say that because I'm sitting in front of a nice fire in your home.
Oh, crap.
But, yeah, the stuff that you've dared to show me is really, really clear. And the short story that you showed me, which name I can't remember.
I don't know which one then.
Has the family with... It's set in the past, is it?
Or
is it
in the bush? Yeah.
And the kids and the... Lots of children involved. Yeah. But the characters that you wrote in that are still set very firmly in my mind.
Oh, good.
And that's, you know, as we talked about earlier today, it's a sign of good writing.
Okay.
When you can remember and hark back like they're real people.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, your job.
Yeah.
And I forgot why I was talking about that. But anyway, you are a good writer and you do like writing. Does something like that nag at you? Like
constantly.
When you're sitting... Yeah.
Constantly. And part of that is the external, you know, my mum going, why aren't you writing? Do you have time to write? You should be having time to write. Make time to write.
Yeah.
So there's that external thing and that just, you know, then I go with it. But, yeah, it's always nagging at me. But I just keep, when I wrote previously and when I wrote successfully previously, nothing could have stopped me. I was just going to do it, you know, and I would just put aside everything and I would just do it.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable with the idea that when the time is right, I'll do that, I'll tap into that again.
Yeah.
And it's not right now. But it doesn't stop me creating stories in my head all the time anyway.
And do you look at... I mean, I'm being in the front office...
Oh.
You must just go, there's a character, there's a character, there's a character, there's a character.
Dialogue? My goodness.
Dialogue. And do you write it down or does it all just go into...
Sometimes I write it down.
Yeah.
Simon's always trying to give me apps for my phone so I can write things down. And as a result, I've got about 6 or 7 apps with, with a paragraph written in each one.
Wow.
Yeah.
But do you have good recall for stuff like that? Like, do you have a...
I don't have good recall for anything, as you may or may not be aware.
I do, but people, artists like yourself, people have funny ways of, like, they don't remember... I can remember details from every movie, song,
yes, I notice, yeah.
Conversations.
Yeah. No, for me, it's names. A feel. I have a feel... I feel something to remember it.
Okay.
Mm. So it's a feeling and I can make the memory work back with the feeling.
Wow.
That sounds really wanky.
No, it didn't because you didn't go, well, you see, I'll explain it to you. It wasn't wanky. You said it as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
It's not wanky.
Yeah.
So, like, now, like I said, working in the front office, does it ever strike you sometimes where you're like, I might let's quit this job and write. Does that come up constantly, or on just on bad days?
It's tricky answering that when in publicly because then someone's going to say, "Well, I heard."
Uh huh.
It happens. Absolutely, it happens.
Yeah.
But I think, and I always think I've got a few ideas. I've got a few things. I've actually got a novel in a drawer, and it's right now. It's really shit. But it could actually be good. And in a way, I almost feel like I have to get a bit older to make it better. So I've got to get that age behind me. And there's times when I think, I could just not be doing this and I could be at home writing.
Yeah.
The truth of that, though, is that I'm also the worst procrastinator in the world.
Yeah. Not a good skill for a writer.
No. And I live in a place that I really love. So I will find reasons not to write if I'm not ready to write. And I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ready.
I mean, I've always been jealous of artists and writers and because it takes, I think, just a lot of courage just to say that this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be a writer because there's so much crap that people... you know, do make, but it's more about, like you said
before...
You
feel like a wanker.
You feel like a wanker?
Yeah. That's where the courage comes in for me. I feel like a wanker, saying, oh yeah, I'm a writer.
Uh-huh. You could just say it like that, though. You are a...
Yeah.
I'm a writer. I write novels and books about chickens.
And once you say that, of course, people go, chickens. Children's book? No, children's book, actually.
The book is Chooks in the City, and we're promoting it. as you said before, if you say, oh, I'm going to do writing, then every time people talk to you, they'll ask you, how's the book coming out?
You know what? And when's that's the other thing that stops coming me. Out?
Like, oh, my God, that's so much pressure.
And people, if you say, oh, I'm writing something, oh, what's it about? I don't want to tell anyone what it's about, because if once I've told you, I've diluted it. I need it all in my head. I need it all concentrated and there. But once I've told you, what I'm not actually doing is, by telling you, I've translated it, and it's not then the same as what's in my head. So now I've got these two things, and it's diluting it. Yeah. Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So I hate that. And then you feel like a shit because you say, I don't want to tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
And I'm not that... I'm not bullshitting. Just explain an answer
to them, and they'll just get confused.
Yeah, that's right. Well, generally, though, the people that ask me what it's about, if I give them that answer, that's too highfalutin and, you know, you've got your head up your ass kind of thing.
But that was always the problem I had with art at school or any art, was the idea in my brain I could never put on the paper.
Yeah.
Like drawing or painting, and that really frustrated me, and I guess it frustrates artists. That's the whole point, isn't it? Getting as close to what's in your brain onto
out
the
there.
Page.
Yeah.
But we're going to finish up.
Yeah.
But before we do, I have to tell the story of how our connection, spiritual connection, where, thank you, we didn't actually meet, but I actually heard you on the radio. Like 6 years ago.
Oh, God.
Well before I even knew who you were, obviously.
When you were just a young thing.
When I was a young thing.
Good Lord.
I had to pick up... My friend was going to England. I had to pick up her car from Sydney and drive back to Canberra for her. And I was already up there. And in my old man ways, I thought, I'm going to drive through Barrel down the Southern Highlands and listen to...
Dundstar.
And listen to AM radio.
Uh-huh.
The weather was like perfectly sunny and just a beautiful day, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do. And put my blanket down on my lap, have my barley sugars and enjoy that. And I remember very clearly listening...
Adjust my strange hat.
And my... That's right. Put my hat on and not indicate. And I was listening to the ABC AM talkback radio.
Triple six
or 702 in Sydney, it might be. And I remember they were talking about pots of making tea and how no one made tea anymore, and people were calling about pots of tea. And all I wanted to do was have a cup of tea and go, oh, when I go home, I'm going to get a teapot and
make myself a cup of tea.
Yeah. And then after that, a lady came on talking about chooks and how you can have chooks in the city and how what are the rules and aren't they noisy? And I said, you know what? When I get home, I'm going to get chooks.
And have a cup of tea.
I'm going to have a cup of tea and get chooks and have our own, get eggs all the time. It sounds great. And that was you. How crazy is that?
I know. And you know what's amazing? With my crappy memory and everything, I remember it was a beautiful day. It was a lovely day. I do. I remember it well. And I'm actually thrilled, because what I never realised was that it actually went beyond Canberra.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was just on... Can you remember who interviewed you?
Alex, you know, that... 666 lady, Alex.
Right, I'm not...
I don't know. She launched my book too, actually.
She launched your book?
After that.
Okay.
She was awesome.
And I was talking to Justine about it. She's like, I remember you were talking about chickens for ages. It's like, how funny. And then what, like 2 years ago I started working with you, and you said, oh yeah, I've written a book. It's in the library, and it's about chooks in the city. And I started reading it, and I was, oh my God. Are you the chook lady? Are you that girl?
I am the chook lady.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kismet. That's probably not the right word.
And I remember the first time I saw you, I thought, that guy looks like the guy from Haircut 100.
Haircut 100. We might end on Haircut 100. Uh-huh. Love plus one.
Love plus one.
Look that up. It's disturbing. If you think it looks like me, wait till you see him in the leopard loincloth,
yes,
swinging from a vine.
Well, I don't know about that part, but...
What other songs did Haircut 100
have? No, I think that was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
I think they were.
One hit wonder.
Anyway, look up Haircut 100. Thank you, Alison. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure.
And that's it.